As we sprint across the parking lot from the K.S. Ardo greenhouse to the K.S. Ardo kitchen, who do we run into but Chef John Ash?
Good morning.
Good morning to you on
How
this
you?
Fine Saturday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we jump into the Best of the Fancy Food Show 2019, of which I attended at the Moscone Center a few weeks ago.
And you deserve a medal for
Thank you.
That.
I wore my track shoes, and I at least looked at the 1,200 exhibitors and tried a few of the 60,000 products that were on display. And I have an assortment of some of the more interesting things that I experienced for us to taste through at the coming
hour. Wish everybody could see what's out in front of you there. It's like, what is that?
Before we do that, we want to chat for just a few minutes about olive oil and olive oil tasting. And on the line with us is Paul Vossen. Paul is quite remarkable. He's UC Cooperative Extension Farm Advisor Emeritus after serving in that position for 36 years, most of that in Sonoma County, focused on efficient fruit harvest for small-scale growers, olive fruit fly control, organic cultural practices. He also taught several olive oil sensory evaluation courses in the U.S., founder of the California Olive Oil Council, UC Davis Olive Center, and he developed the first olive oil taste panel in the U.S. to become recognized by the International Olive Oil Council. Next week, Paul is presenting an olive oil sensory training with himself and Richard Gewell, and I got an email from Paul stating it's sold out at Schoen Farm from 8 to 1 o'clock. But we wanted to spend just a few minutes talking about what's going to be covered in that course next Saturday with Paul. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Hi. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it very much.
I'm glad that you sold out the course. And before we get into chatting with you, is there a chance you'll be offering this again? It sounds like it's very popular.
Well, the reason I'm holding the course right now, at least anyway, is that Richard Gall and I have just returned. We spent the earlier part of this last week at the Los Angeles International Olive Oil Competition, judging olive oils there. And then he likes to get away for a little bit, so we came up to Northern California here. He and I have taught some courses in the past together, but I wanted to take advantage of him being here to get his expertise and help our new growers or new producers that are interested in evaluating their olive oils, and also anybody else who is interested in learning about olive oil quality and by tasting it. So I don't really know if we're going to be able to do this again. I don't have anything planned right now of doing it again, but
who knows?
Yeah, unfortunately, it filled up. It filled up in, well, fortunately, it filled
no,
up.
No, that's fortunate.
And so Richard, obviously, a long-term appointee as head judge for over 35 national and international extra virgin olive oil competitions. So it's no surprise that it's sold out.
So how do you pick a good olive oil? I mean, if I'm just a person who uses a lot of olive oil at home and all that stuff, so often you don't know what you're getting if you just look at the package.
What you want to do is you want to look for something. You actually want to taste it. You really have to taste it in order to know. I mean, if you looked at any product on the grocery store aisle, you know, you'd say, well, look at all these wines, look at all these barbecue sauces, look at all these salad dressings. You really have to buy a couple of them, take them home, taste them, and from that standpoint, then, what you're really looking for is freshness. And what that means, essentially, is an olive oil that tastes like fresh olives. Of course, the problem is people don't eat fresh olives, or if you've ever eaten a fresh olive or taken a bite out of a fresh olive, they're bitter and pungent and herbaceous in character. And that's actually what olive oil is supposed to taste like. The opposite of that is canned olives or fermented olives, or pickled olives, essentially. You know, the Kalamata olives or the Costa del Trono olives that you get in an olive bar, those have all been pickled. So they put those in a container and add brine solution, and they ferment over time, and that preserves them, lowers the pH and preserves them, but you also get this fermented flavor. And so the biggest mistake that people make is that they think olive oil is supposed to taste like canned olives or fermented olives. And actually, in olive oil, that's a defect.
So if freshness is a key, how come olive oils aren't dated?
Well, some of them are, and that's starting to happen as we get into more and more competition within the market here. I don't know if you remember this, but probably 20 years ago, there were four or five or six different olive oils on the shelf, and now there's most places have 20, and a number of local ones and small-scale producers. And so as that competition has increased, people have had to, you know, get set their olive oils apart, from differentiate their olive oils apart from everybody else's. And so now we are seeing that there are some producers that are putting the harvest date actually on the bottles.
And that might be a good indicator, at least, of freshness.
Sometimes here in the Northern Hemisphere, because we're going to be harvesting over that change of year. So, for example, a lot of times you'll see on an olive oil bottle, you'll see 2019-20. Well, that was harvested. It might have been harvested in November, December of 2019, and maybe even gone over into January of 2020. So it's really a 2020 olive oil, but it may have been harvested just a month ago or 2 months ago.
So why is there such a huge difference in price? I mean, you can spend a fortune on what are claimed to be really great olive oils.
Well, the huge difference in price is the same as you would see it as a huge difference in price in virtually anything we have. Look at the huge difference in price in wines or cars or shoes or, you know, whatever it is. So most of it, quite frankly, is the marketing aspect, or, you know, the promotion of a product. Certainly if it's organic, it would cost a little bit more to produce and the price should be a little bit better. If it's locally produced, the price is usually a little bit higher because we have smaller scale producers with, you know, a local area here would be, you know, higher cost water, higher cost labor, higher cost housing, those kinds of things. And so the cost of production would be higher. And then anytime you have a small scale producer, you can't spread out costs over a huge volume. So the cost would be higher for a small scale producer. But you're right. The price varies, can vary, you know, double, triple from one bottle to the next.
Is there any place we can go to try a different number of varieties of olive oils in Northern California?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, I'm going to let you think about it.
Not really. I'm trying to think of, you know, because in the grocery store, you can't open the bottle and taste it. So that's really what you need to do is go to a tasting where there are several. And that's kind of what we're doing with this course, to some extent. We'll be tasting examples of really good olive oils by variety from several different countries. And, of course, then anybody who comes to this would be able to say, okay, I want to buy that. But actually, this course, we're looking at the people who have enrolled. It's a lot of producers, people who produce olive oil and want to know, is my olive oil really good? How does it compare to others? What do we look for in distinguishing an okay olive oil from a really good olive oil to a fantastic olive oil?
And at least UC Davis in that area, would there be more options for consumers maybe to go and take classes or learn about olive oil sensory evaluation?
UC Davis teaches one or two courses a year. Sue Langstaff, who was a person that I worked with for a number of years, took over the training of those courses at UC Davis, and she runs a taste panel that's part of her own private business. And they would, at that course, over 2 days, they would probably taste 55 different oils.
Wow.
This course that Richard and I are doing, we've got 4 hours, and we're going to be tasting about 20 oils.
Well, I'm sorry we won't be able to attend, and I'm sorry many of our listeners won't be able to attend, but wanted to let you know that when you see a Paul Vossen olive oil sensory training, enroll right away.
I guess this is the notice that I should do this every year.
I think it is.
I think so, Paul. I hope it's a beautiful day next week at Santa Rosa Junior College's Schoen Farm out in Forestville. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure talking with you. Paul Vossen, who knows a lot about olive oil. KSRO's Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash and Steve Garner. You're going to be publishing a new series in your Press Democrat culinary writings, I think next Wednesday, called The Big Deal Dinner.
Yes, it's kind of in honor of Valentine's Day and all of that.
Man, there's some great recipes. Yeah. You sent me the package, grilled wild mushroom and citrus salad with soft ripening cheese. Mm. Your mouth is watering right now. And beautiful photographs, mm-hmm. that article next Wednesday. Radicchio soup with smoked goat cheese. That's a rich one, too. Mm-hmm. And, oh, there's a Bernaise sauce involved in that. Floating islands, which sounds complicated, but it couldn't be simpler.
No, it's really easy.
It's meringue.
It's just meringue that you kind of poach, and that's it.
And then is it our creme anglaise?
There's a creme anglaise on the bottom, and then a caramel sauce, a kind of bourbon caramel sauce that gets drizzled over the top.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
And so look for that next Wednesday.
Yes,
And maybe we'll end up posting a recipe
sure,
or so one of that. How about that on the Good Food Hour?
Yeah.
So you can impress your sweetheart. So I was at the Fancy Food Show, of course, on Sunday, January 19th, and I tasted a lot.
So would you describe what, I mean, just for someone, you know, most people don't get a chance to go to this, but just describe it. I mean, when you walk in the door, you see what?
It's a culinary bacchanalia. It's the Moscone North and South buildings. Every square inch is covered with exhibitors from all over the world that are demonstrating new products, updated products, new ideas, new innovations in foods. There's pavilions internationally. There's 35 countries internationally that show, plus the American contingency. There's over 1,200 exhibitors in both North and South, with some 60 to 70,000 different products offered. And hopefully they're looking for distributorships here in the Bay Area, many of them. It's open to trade and media only. It's not a public event. So I'm allowed to go in and taste and talk and explore for as long as I can stand walking. I probably put on 5-6 miles during the time I'm there, from 10 o'clock until 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
So how do you choose what to go
I get taste? The exhibitor's book ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I kind of just look and see what I think might be interesting, companies I've never heard of. I look for trends. Mm-hmm. I try to spot trends. Of course, everything changes every single year. This year was certainly the year of keto. Keto is king. A lot of vendors are blaring the news that their products are keto friendly. One of them had, we don't need no stinking carbs. That was one I remember. Also, alternative dairy was huge this year. Oats this, nuts this. Of course, plant-based proteins have taken over the universe at this point with the success of the Impossible Burger and Beyond Beef. Well, there's a lot of people jumping on that bandwagon also. Besides those things, seaweed made a strong impression this year, more so than I've seen in the past. Mushrooms were everywhere, especially the medicinal type of mushrooms. There was a marvelous company from Japan that I spent a lot of time with called Sugimoto, S-U-G-I-M-O-T-O, shiitake. And they've been growing since 1955 in Japan. They had a very strong presence in the International Pavilion, talking about the medicinal and culinary properties of mushroom and how they grow them on these special logs. Well, you know very much about this. The synergistic umami in all of these. And they were passing out grilled samples of these shiitakes. And I could have spent all day with them. And this is third generation since the 1950s. The sons are carrying on this tradition. And I thought maybe this is portending the success of the new movie, Fantastic Fungi, that has been sweeping the country. A wonderful movie. If you haven't had a chance to see it, go see it. It talks about the not only culinary and medicinal, but mystical properties of what goes on underneath the ground, the mycelium, the network. And it is very uplifting movie. Even if you're not into the woo-woo factor of mushrooms, go see this just for the photography. Time-lapse photography of mushrooms sprouting forth in forest settings, overturning logs and finding this wealth of nutrition and culinary wonder. Paul Stamets, who is such a guru in the mushroom world, he is very provocative in the movie. Andrew Weil, Dr. Andrew Weil, Michael Pollan, a lot of the top people in the world of culinary and medicinal exploration are in this movie. It's only an hour and 15 minutes. It goes by quickly. And I couldn't help but thinking while I was tasting the mushrooms from Sugimoto about this film and what an impact it had on me. So that was really exciting. I couldn't bring any of their grilled shiitakes. They're based in Tokyo, well, actually south of in Japan. They did not have samples they were able to send me. But that was an exciting trend, I thought. Those were some of the things.
I think it's great when you learn something too. It isn't just sticking something in your mouth, but that they're the background and the history of things is.
Well, go see this consciousness shifting film if you can.
Where do you see it?
Well, it was at the Rialto in Summerfield in Sonoma County. I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but look for it.
But it's not on Netflix?
Not yet. Okay, not yet, okay. But I'm sure it will be coming to that. At the show, there was alternative grains, a lot of alternative grains, and of course, Fonio was there. We had a wonderful conversation a few weeks ago about the grain Fonio, F-O-N-I-O, and they were there. The folks that wrote the Fonio cookbook, Pierre Chiam, Chef Pierre Chiam, who was with us, he had a booth. And look, he had packages of Fonio for the first time available for the media and trade to try, this wonder grain. And you've worked with Fonio before.
Yeah.
So these were wonderful. They had some pilafs available in some of the...
So things that they were actually serving.
So actually serving. Yeah. So that was very exciting.
So let me ask you, what do you think of it?
I liked it. It reminded me of other grains like quinoa. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert on grains. I did like it. Mm-hmm. It cooked very quickly, at least the packaged versions, within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I thought it was a very nutty, delicious tasting
and
grain.
Is it, I can't remember, is it...
It's gluten-free.
It's gluten-free.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay.
And grows very quickly.
Yeah.
And another... first time I've seen his pavilion was Bob Moore from Bob's Red Mill.
You're kidding.
He was there.
He's a real guy?
He's a real guy. And not only that, John, look at this. He wanted me to take a photo with him.
Oh, this is great.
So I have an autographed photo of one of my heroes, Bob Moore from Bob's Red Mill, which you can find in even the big chain supermarkets.
Yeah.
He's changed the landmark of presenting heritage stone ground grain in this country. And he started back in 1972. And I was able to chat with Bob for just a couple minutes or so and had a wonderful chat with him. And I think we'll take a listen to that right now.
The way we make our corn flour is right in front of the tour area where we have people all day long, sometimes 40, 50 people at a time. And we got a small mill set up behind. The reason it's small, because corn flour is very easy to make, soft. It's not like wheat where you got a harder. And so we're grinding corn flour all the time. So then there's little bags of it in the window so they can see what we're grinding. So we've been doing this for years, and you just happen to hit, when you ask about corn flour, on one of the easiest things that we do. So I make the most money when you buy the corn flour.
How many years have you been doing this, Bob?
I started in about 1972, so I've been, I don't know, 50 years? Is that 50? It must be at least. I can't count now.
You only have one central milling area?
Yes, we do. It's in Portland, Oregon. Well, Milwaukee, which is part of Portland. And it's great fun. I've grown from the little tiny mill to a medium-sized mill to a great big mill. I've got about 700,000 square feet now. And I think we're at 620 people, 24 hours a day, Steve. You wouldn't believe it. My wife and I used to sack the flour in by hand. Except for grinding with stones, we're pretty much totally automated.
You still do stone ground,
like
your
I've
name says.
I've got 24 mills running all the time. Each one runs separate grains and things. And we have a full gluten-free section. It's a separate building, actually. So it's great. We have a lab. We just keep growing.
Fabulous.
Don't know any better. Anyway, what better way to do it?
And that's Bob Moore from Bob's Red Mill. Mm. What a character. Mm-hmm. 90 years old. And,
is he? Wow. And well, I guess he must be.
He attributes this to the grains that he started eating in the 70s. He said he was in terrible health, and his wife encouraged him to change his diet, and he started trying to seek out the old stone ground mills that were still in existence on the West Coast. So he started with one mill, and now he's certainly one of the top people in the country offering great grains. I buy his products, and it was great
to meet
him. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to dive into some tasting of some of the best from the Fancy Food Show in 2019 that I happened to attend. Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Dr. Walter Tom. He's always willing to answer your questions.
Why local anesthesia for cosmetic breast surgery? I feel, number one, that it's safer. Secondly, your recovery is quicker. And lastly, you have less postoperative discomfort.
A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Voted Sonoma County's best cosmetic surgeon.
That's a common question. Most of my patients following cosmetic breast surgery say that their breasts feel very natural and they like the natural look.
One question leads to another, and every question is important.
There are advantages to saline implants and there are advantages to silicone implants, and I'm happy to review these with you. Safety is always a concern. I want to reassure you that we use only FDA-approved and the safest breast implants available today.
Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Walter Tom. Contact his office today for a free consultation. Online at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com.
Have you heard the phrase, sharpen the saw? It means that the blade of a saw becomes dull with use. And if you don't stop to sharpen it, the saw will become harder to cut with and less productive. Hey there, Austin here from More Home Services. Your heating system is a lot like that saw. As you use it over time, it gets dirty, parts loosen up due to vibrations, and as a result, it becomes less efficient and more likely to break down. The solution for a dull saw is to sharpen it. And the solution for your heater is a precision tune-up and professional cleaning from More Home Services. For only $88, we'll spend a full 90 minutes cleaning and calibrating 18 different operations of your heating system and rejuvenate it back to factory fresh condition. We even guarantee that your heater won't break down for the entire season or your money back. You can't lose. So give us a call to schedule an $88 tune-up. Our number is 707-505-8000. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Oakmont Senior Living Communities of Sonoma County invites you to an insightful and informative presentation about dementia. Tipa Snow will be at Verena at Fountain Grove on Thursday, February 13th at 2 p.m. to talk about living with dementia and provide valuable techniques and approaches to use in your caregiving. Tipa Snow is one of America's leading educators on dementia, and she's made it her personal mission to help families and professionals better understand the challenges that accompany the various forms of dementia and how to improve quality of life. If you are caring for someone with memory loss, come to Verena at Fountain Grove, 1401 Fountain Grove Parkway, on Thursday, February 13th at 2 p.m. Seating is limited, so kindly RSVP by February 11th to reserve your spot. Call 707-755-7085. 707-755-7085. Valet parking will be available. For more information, go to oakmontofverena.com. oakmontofverena.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner, Chef John Ash in the Chaos Arto Kitchen, joined by our super taster, Mike DeWald, who always sets us straight on what's good and what's going to tank and what's going to do well. So we're going to start off the show today in our fancy food roundup with a product from Maud Borup. That's a good old name.
Yes, Maud. It is. That was my grandma's name.
Maud. Yeah. I knew that. Yeah. And Maud Borup started making candy in 1907 in St. Paul, Minnesota. Her family and friends opened a little candy counter at a flower shop in St. Paul, and soon the business was going in itself for almost 100 years. And in 1905, the family sold the business to Christine Lantinen. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. And she's continuing the business and expanding the business. It's located in Plymouth, Minnesota. And I found these fabulous little fizzy...
I can't believe
they're
it.
They're called fizzy drink bombs, and they're cherry and blue raspberry flavored, and they just sent me their new one, which is milk chocolate filled with mini marshmallows. You put these in hot milk, and they... So I've not tried these. I tried them at the show, but Mike, are you getting ready to put one of these in the water?
It smells amazing.
So you're just supposed to drop it in the water, I guess, and we'll see if it starts fizzing.
Pretty firm. Let's see how this works.
Okay, what's going to happen now?
Oh.
Whoa.
And it's glittery.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's sparkly.
Wow, and it rolls around. And
it's pretty cool,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Maud Borup's fizzy drinks. Now, these are not even on the... So these are so new, they're not even on the market
okay,
yet.
Yeah.
But they debuted them at the Fancy Food
But
Show.
I bet you could go online and find them.
Maybe.
Or at least find
them. Because they're wholesaling them now.
When they're going to release them.
And they come in the little ones. Look, here's the small ones. Individual size.
These would be my grandsons would go nuts for these.
Any kid would love these. The fizzy drink bombs. And there's a little six-pack, and then they have the individual one that is about the size of a golf ball that Mike used, and that's supposed to be enough for three. So, Mike, give it a taste.
Okay, let's see.
The ball keeps spinning. There's a lot of fizzing going
there's
on in
here. There's more fizzing. Don't swallow the ball now, Mike. Is it refreshing?
Oh, that's great. That is really, really good.
John, give it a shot.
Okay, here we go. Uh-oh.
Oh, it is. It's not a natural color, but I guess is how you would say that. But it really is delicious, isn't it? I mean, I expected it to be Kool-Aid-y or something like that, and it's not.
Well, there we have it. Maud Borup. It's spelled M-A-U-D, first name, and Borup, B-O-R-U-P. Look for their wonderful little fizzy drinks. I think they also do holistic cotton candy or something really wild and wonderful like that.
Gosh.
And I think they do chocolates. They're based in Minnesota, but look for them online. So, Mike, you're giving a thumbs up?
Thumbs up for me.
Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to go where no one has gone before. It's almost Steve's Mr. Wizard's lab this morning. Yeah. We're going to try something really unique on the Good Food Hour following this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh, local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Yes, it's that time again. I'm Jeff Davis of On the Wine Road with more tempting options from Smothers Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa. Right now and through March 2nd, Mercedes-Benz is offering their certified sales event. You'll find exclusive offers on certified pre-owned cars. As I've mentioned before, these certified pre-owned vehicles go through a rigorous 165-point inspection. The CPO vehicles also come with industry-leading coverage, an unlimited mileage warranty for 1 year that can be extended for up to two additional years, and they include 24-hour roadside assistance. During this certified sales event, you'll find some killer deals right now, like a 2017 GLC 304-matic SUV 9-speed automatic for just $32,222. See Smothers Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa for complete details. Family-owned since 1982 on the Corby Auto Row and mbofsantarosa.com.
Are you an HR professional, hiring manager, or business owner that wants to gain tools and resources to enhance your talent strategy this year? Then don't miss Star Staffing's Talent Summit, The Future of Work, on March 4th at Sally Tomatoes in Rohnert Park. This half-day conference includes impressive speakers Allison Crawford, Diversity and Inclusion Manager at Uber, and returning keynote speaker Margaret Graziano, CEO of Keen Alignment. Purchase tickets today at starhr.com/events. Deadline March 1st.
Graydon Resort and Casino is now hiring.
Every day I get to go into my job and see my second family.
Visit GraydonResortCasino.com for all of our available positions.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies and warmer temperatures coming. Today topping out at 65, 58 along the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 42, 41 on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 64, 61 in Bodega Bay. Still sunny for Monday. Temperatures topping out at 71 degrees. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
in the KS Arto Kitchen. Steve Garner, Chef John Ash, and Mike DeWald were trying a few things from the Fancy Food Show. Next up is the Wild Hibiscus Company, the flower company. This was created in the 1990s in Australia by Lee Etherington, and he started distributing these marvelous wild hibiscus flowers in syrup, which I really had never seen. I think fancy bartenders know about this. And also this wild, beautiful blue lotus root that he also has, if we're going to try. Plus the butterfly pea flowers, which is a natural blue flower that changes color. And we're going to demonstrate. We're going to do this right now. So, John, put a couple drops of the extract in water.
There we go. Boy, this is really
We're putting
blue.
This in water.
A little more?
Yeah.
Yeah, there.
Wow.
Okay.
Look at that. Very,
looks like a swimming pool.
What do you think? Is the color beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's turning a beautiful blue. You can imagine in a sparkler,
some
champagne or something
and
like that.
And the interesting is it's just this flower. It's natural. There's nothing else.
Nothing is. And it comes as a tea bag also, which we have also. We're not going to be able to use the tea bag, but that also is the beautiful flower.
Okay.
You can steep. And now what happens due to chemistry, John is now going to squeeze some lemon juice into the blue.
Waiting.
I think it's supposed to be kind of turn. Maybe it's the dilution rate. It's supposed to be turning pink.
Pink. Should we put it?
But maybe you need more.
Oh, there it is.
Is it starting?
It's starting.
Maybe you need a little more of the lemon juice. I'm not sure. Is it starting to turn pink? Well, that's more blue.
Okay.
And now you add more lemon juice. Can you squeeze a bunch of lemon juice in there?
Well.
Okay, maybe it's not turning.
Oh, there it is.
No, there it is. It's turning pink.
Is. Yeah.
So it's quite beautiful. I think we have probably too much water. But isn't that beautiful, this wild?
Yeah.
So this is the Wild Hibiscus Flower Company. They also, and look at this beautiful hibiscus. It's gorgeous, this dark red color.
Yeah. For those who don't know hibiscus, you know, the edible hibiscus, you can get them, not these, but you can get them in Mexican markets because they use that to make Jamaica, you know, which has a brilliant, brilliant red color, kind of agua fresca drink.
So you put a flower in champagne or in syrup, and then it opens up. Yeah. It's a beautiful crimson color.
How about if we drop one in here? You want to see?
Oh, why don't you drop one in there?
The hibiscus.
The hibiscus in there. Just drop it in there. Does it open up a little? Maybe it needs a little bit of hydration. But you can also stuff whole hibiscus flowers with soft goat cheese.
Oh,
and serve that.
And
a little chives for an hors d'oeuvre.
Is it moving, Mike?
And you can use it as a syrup to sweeten flavor and color cocktails. It mixes with any liquor. And it's a beautiful color, though, this hibiscus.
It looks like a small octopus.
Yes, it's opening up. And then even more stunning, and John, why don't you try a taste of the blue lotus?
So, you know, I eat a lot of lotus fruit, and I've never seen this. Usually it's in savory food.
Yeah.
You know, that.
And it's a beautiful dark
with the
blue
colors.
Color.
Mmm. Mm. Crunchy.
Uh-huh.
And not too sweet, but slightly sweet. Wow.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mike, try one of those. You know what? It turns your teeth blue. No, it doesn't.
So you can get some of these products at BevMo and Total Wine. That's a place you can strip it. Or you can go on Amazon or go directly to Wild Hibiscus Flower Company and experiment and try some of these beautiful hibiscus and lotus flowers and also some of the wonderful
teas. So are these things expensive?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
But they are unique. Did you try the lotus, Mike?
I did.
What do you think?
Just a little bit of sweetness. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Unique, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. More from the Fancy Food Show on the special edition of the KSRO Good Food Hour.
KSRO is online at KSRO.com. Streaming powered by Hudson Street Design, a Healdsburg Lumber Company.
Did you know that the average person will spend over 90,000 hours working in their lifetime? 90,000 hours on the job. This is Austin from More Home Services, and I want you to know that a big reason that we have the world's friendliest technicians is that they absolutely love working here. We train them well, we treat them well, we pay them well, and we encourage them to spend time helping their customers by doing good deeds for free. I'm telling you, they absolutely love it here. That's why more home services technicians are always smiling, they're always respectful, and they're always ready to help out. 90,000 hours is a lot of time to spend doing anything, so call somebody who loves their job and who's really good at doing it. Call More Home Services. Whether you need a heater tune-up or repair or a whole new system, give us a call. Our number is 707-505-8000. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com. That's 707-505-8000. Or online at morehomeservices.com.
Stuck in traffic on Highway 101? Finally, Marin and Sonoma counties have a green alternative to get us out of traffic and moving again. The Smart Train now travels every half hour from the Sonoma County Airport all the way to Larkspur and the Ferry during commute hours, helping 700,000 passengers a year avoid Highway 101 traffic. But to keep smart moving well into the future, we need to vote yes on Measure I. Measure I helps smart expand services to the new station in Windsor, taking even more cars off the road. And Measure I saves $12.2 million annually in financing costs to fully fund operations along the entire line for the next 30 years, all without raising taxes. For better commutes and reduced greenhouse gases, keep smart. Vote yes on Measure I. Ad paid for by Stay Green Keep Smart 2020 Yes on I. Committee major funding from Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria.
A lifestyle of relaxation, comfort, and convenience awaits at Vineyard Creek Apartments in Santa Rosa. 9-foot ceilings, granite countertops, and amenities that include a state-of-the-art fitness center, on-site community daycare, poolside barbecue pavilion, a spacious dog park, and so much more. You'll feel like you live in a resort, and with Vineyard views, you do. Schedule a visit today at vineyard-creek.com and start vacation living every day at Vineyard Creek Apartments.
A message from Tom Steyer.
The American people can fix anything. The problem is, corporations and the people who run and own them have purchased our democracy. Here's the difference between me and the other candidates. I don't think we can fix our democracy from the inside. I don't believe Washington politicians and big corporations will let that happen. The only way we can make change happen is from the outside. For me, this comes down to whether you trust the politicians or the people. And if you say you trust the people, are you willing to stand up to the insiders and the big corporations and give the people the tools they need to fix our democracy? A national referendum, term limits, eliminating corporate money in politics, making it easy to vote. I trust the people. And as president, I will give you tools we need to fix our democracy.
I'm Tom Steyer, running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tom Steyer 2020.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour, and here's something that's never before seen before, John, except at the Fancy Food Show. It's the world's first sesame milk. And as I mentioned, there was lots of products featuring oats and lots of products featuring nuts, but some people do have nut allergies.
So
in the crowded field of what I call the alternative milk category, of which there's lots, this is making its debut, and they come out with different flavors.
Interesting, you know, because, again, for vegans and other people who don't want to drink cow's milk, the controversy that's creating can have things made. I'd be fascinated to know how they make these, because a lot of them are really good.
So this is a sesame milk product. And they talk about sesame seeds being little but packed with lots of nutrients. Yeah. It also is very sustainable. It can go from seed to harvest in 120 days, which is really remarkable. It also is drought tolerant. So when you look at crops that do very well in marginal areas of the world that pack a nutritional powerhouse, sesame seems to be a whole new world that's worth exploring. And as I said, different than nuts. And of course, think about the irrigation. That nuts take a lot more than sesame, and how long it takes to get a crop from a nut tree versus sesame. So I think this category, which is new, these This is not in the store yet, the Hope and Sesame brand.
Where is it made?
It's made back in the Midwest. They have the shelf-stable ones already in Sprout markets throughout the country. But they have not rolled out the refrigerator case ones, which we have now, which we're trying.
So would you look at the label there? I'm just curious. What's the fat content of this? And calories?
5 grams, which is about 8% for fat. Saturated fat, 0.5 grams.
Wow, that's not much at all.
Zero trans fats, zero cholesterol. It has a pretty good profile, I think, and it's got really great ingredients. So it comes with, we're tasting the original. There's also an unsweetened version. They also have, they didn't send me a chocolate and a chocolate, a hazelnut which I was lobbying for, but maybe they didn't have enough. Yeah. So look for this in the Sprouts market soon. Hope and Sesame brand sesame milk. Pretty
good.
Cool.
Take a little sip. See what you think.
Oh, I tried it.
Did you? You like it?
I liked it a lot.
It's different. I mean, it's not milk, but but in many ways, it's more pleasant, the flavor.
I liked it a lot. Now, when you have milk, John, what goes well with milk?
Well, cookies.
Cookies go really well. That's very good. I think we'll try some cookies. And on the phone, we have a woman that knows a thing about cookies or two. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, this is Joan McIsaac with Effie's Homemade in Boston, Massachusetts.
You're the co-owner of Effie's Cookies?
Yes.
They're
yes,
the
I
best. I have to tell you, they're fantastic.
Joan, thank you very much. Yeah. That is so sweet. Actually, Steve approached me at the Fancy Food Show, and that would be wonderful. I'd be happy to join the conversation.
Well, a number of years ago, John brought in these cookies and said, have you tried these Effie's cookies? And I said, I never heard of them. Okay. He said, I think these might be my favorite cookies.
Yeah.
And so I saw you at the Fancy Food Show, and it was nice because you're a smaller producer. There's, you know, huge multi-conglomerate companies there, and here's a small cookie company from back in the East Coast out in Massachusetts, and you sent us several of your flavors. Tell us about the history of the cookie company, Joan.
I'd be happy to. So it's myself and my partner, Irene. We knew each other in high school, but many years later got connected through BU Culinary School here. And one thing led to another, and we partnered up, and we launched the idea. Irene floated out the idea of having a wholesale baking company. And, you know, I knew right away what I wanted to launch with was my mother's oat cake recipe. So my mom and dad were both from Nova Scotia, and everybody in Nova Scotia makes oat cakes. And this was like the staple in our house as kids. And just this lightly sweet biscuit that, you know, was always there in that tin, you know. So we launched in 2008, just actually, I think, almost 12 years ago this week. And we started selling to specialty food stores in the Boston area, then New England, and then along the East Coast. But it was Irene and Joan, as we say, dialing the dollars and sending out samples and following up. And we found out that we had a pretty good success on our hands, and we were pretty fortunate.
So these really aren't cookies in the way that we typically think of cookies. They're like the oat cake, which was the first one I ever tried a few years ago, which I just went nuts for. It's more, there is a little sweetness to them. How would you describe them rather than me struggling?
We are biscuits, and you know, and we're a biscuit, and so they're lightly sweet enough that you can have a few with a cup of tea in the afternoon, or they are you know, just sweet enough to really sharpen up a great cheese on top of it and make a really great pairing.
I love what you wrote on your website. It was here that Effie learned to make oat cakes in Cape Breton Island from her mother in a wood-fired cast iron oven, following a family tradition passed on from mothers to daughters for generations. And your mom passed this on to you.
Yes. And she is not quite, she's still alive. She's 96.
Is she? Wow.
Yeah. She has Alzheimer's, but in a nice way, it's been gradual. And good. When we launched the company, actually, the following year, or 2010, we won the gold for the oat cakes. And my partner, Irene, loves to tell the story of calling home and telling everybody, we won the gold, we won the gold. And my mother said, oh, dear, that's nice, nice, nice. Just don't give out my number, please. She just thought the world was going to be calling her, you know.
So how many other flavors do you have besides the original oat cakes?
We have four additional flavors. So after we launched the oat cakes, we realized we had a great niche here was this biscuit that is in the specialty food section of most retailers, and it pairs with cheese, but it also pairs with those wonderful condiments. And I believe, Steve, you mentioned earlier that we are a small company. We are still small, and you know, that we make our batches small. It's the only way we can maintain the quality of the product. So you know, we launched, as I said, 2008, so we have now four flavors. We make a corn-flavored corn cakes. We make a pecan nut cake with wildflower honey. We have a malted cocoa cake, so it's a lightly chocolatey cocoa cookie with coconut in it, and a walnut rye cake, which is my favorite cheese candy.
Okay, well, John, you've got your work cut out for you. You have all those samples to take home. Joan, thank you so much for joining us. Effie's Homemade. Look for their, not cookies,
no.
We call them what, biscuits possibly, or oat cakes?
Yes.
Okay. It's so great to talk to you because I love your products. Steve, because I buy them by the case and then I bring them in. And the thing I love is that if you buy them by the case, you always include some ones that got kind of broken up, but those become samples.
Perfect.
John, that's what sold our company is we put samples in every case of our biscuits from day one.
Did you?
We had a friend in the industry, and he told us to do that, and that's what sells our biscuits.
It's brilliant.
Joan McCassick, based on her mom Effie's Cape Breton, Nova Scotia oat cake recipe, co-founder of Effie's. Thanks for joining us today. You've made our program.
You made mine, too. Thank you very much.
Nice chatting with you. There's Joan McCassick. We'll be right back and do a little celebrating on the Good Food Hour this morning.
Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh, local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour is on the road again and will be live from the Cloverdale Citrus Fair Saturday, February 15th from 9 to noon. The Citrus Fair makes its return to Sonoma County Friday, February 14th through Monday, February 17th. Steve, Gwen, and John will talk with Citrus Fair CEO Katie Young. They'll also chat with citrus experts, local chefs, and taste the winning wines from the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition. Listen to Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour live from the Cloverdale Citrus Fair Saturday, February 15th, 9 to noon.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Oh, as we wind up our visit to the Fancy Food Show in San Francisco, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. And here was a final product that really took me by surprise. Lori Sandler, she founded a company called Let Them Eat Candles. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Yeah, a while back. Yeah. It took years of trial and experimentation and failure to come up with a foolproof candle that was chocolate and that actually could be lit. I know. It sounds crazy, but they come in three packs, and that's for granting three wishes or celebration and acknowledgement of past, present, future. And what she says in her letter to me is that life is too short to settle for wax. And so that's why we have something for you, John Ash. Mm. There you are.
Oh, it looks really beautiful.
And there's a little happy birthday cupcake for you.
Cupcake.
And there is the chocolate candle, which you, if you can put into the cupcake.
This one.
Yeah. See that lovely little chocolate? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
How they got that mold so pretty. They come in milk chocolate and dark chocolate. And you stick it right in there and you light it up. Now, don't eat the wick.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. Do not eat the wick.
What would happen if I ate the
wick? Well, I don't think any bad would. It might not be so too palatable. Yeah. These are available at the letthemeatcandles.com website, amazon.com. And some of the stores in Northern California do carry them if you want to look for them.
Okay, here we go.
So, and you, of course, you have to blow that out after you light it and make a wish. So we're actually, Mike, did you take a photo of that, of John's birthday cupcake with the little chocolate candle? Did you make a wish?
I will.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
How'd you do? Did he get it blown out?
It's all blown out.
Okay. Now remove the wick.
Okay. Let's see here. It just
pulls out, right?
A small wick.
Just a small little wick. And then you try a bite of the chocolate.
Here. Bite
so,
the other end.
Mike, could it be easier? So you light, you wish, and you eat.
Mm.
Well, you need to remove the wick and then you eat. Isn't it great? But you can imagine the technology involved in shipping this chocolate so it doesn't melt, doesn't get deformed, stays the right shape.
Did you try this, Steve?
I did. Well, okay. I had several at the show. And so they come in these wonderful little three packs, and they also come in these single packs. And what kid, whether you're three or 90, would not love an edible chocolate candle.
For sure.
So would you like one?
Yeah, sure.
Mike, would you take one home?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a very unique part of the show. I was looking for playful ideas at the show. There's a lot of serious content, of course, and I understand that. But these type of exhibitors also called to me, just something that was made for sheer fun.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a wonderful job, because I thought what could be simpler, but obviously there was a lot involved in the research as far as the wick.
Well, we're saying off the air, isn't it amazing that people spend a lifetime developing these things and, you know, put their heart and soul into it? It's great.
So what, are you sold, Mike?
I'm sold. I'm ready.
Well, for your birthday, we're going to get you those. And we're going to post all of the products that we tasted online so that you can look for the websites and follow up with any of these products that particularly caught your interest. The hot cocoa bombs from Maud Baruth, the milk chocolate marshmallow, and they're very cherry and fizzy. The wonderful Hope and Sesame Milk products will do that. And of course, the wonderful Wild Hibiscus Flower Company, if you're interested in their lotus or hibiscus, or the magnificent little flowers that turn blue in the glass. We'll let you know about that too. And of course, Effie's.
Well, Effie's. I have to say, I mean, I was familiar with it, but I was so pleased that you discovered them, because I love their products.
Well, good. And then also look for mushrooms. Although these aren't available yet in the United States, there's other wonderful shiitake-type products.
Well, there's even a product that is on the market now called mushroom jerky. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't tried it.
That was at the show.
Was it? Yeah. Did you try it?
It was okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I didn't bring any samples. Yeah. It was good, but these grilled shiitake that they were passing out at the booth, those were really fantastic. Yeah. So look for that, and go see the movie. Fantastic fungi. Fabulous. Just movie. Okay, next week at Cloverdale, we'll be talking and tasting citrus next week. I hope you'll be able
Everybody's got to come there, because it is, what year is this? The 126th?
105th or 10th or 15th. 125, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So come up to Cloverdale.
It's like, it's middle America. It's America.
It's the best of America.
Yeah,
Thanks for listening. At the Table with Clark Wolf follows the news. And thanks for listening to the KSRO Good Food Hour. And hope you'll join us next week up in Cloverdale. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
Winner of two Marconi Awards, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.